Welcome to the Journal Hijabi podcast. I'm your host, Sirin, and here we're all about elevating the voices of hijabi women in mainstream media through authentic storytelling. Without further ado, let's begin the episode.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
And also there's, like, from another module, like, learning about different, like, philosophies of, like, what is correct, what is the right, like, understanding of the Quran. What does the Quran actually say about hijab? What is the actual, like, way of, like, modest wear? And, like, understanding, like, going back. And it's a very individualistic thing, like you said, Sadia. Like, it's about, like, your understanding of hijab and your understanding about Islam, and making sure that you're not adjusting the hijab and your Islam and your religion around the world. Yeah. It's about adjusting the world around your Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to do that.
Exactly. Yeah.
But we can do that.
And I feel like this culture is always going to be part of us.
Yeah.
No one's saying you have to abolish culture. It's just kind of separating culture and religion,
yeah,
which is, like, the main important thing, like, not mixing both.
Could definitely get toxic.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Culture, but, you know, there's always good parts to it as well.
Yeah.
I feel
like
it's a, you know, mix of everything.
But
I think it all comes, genuinely, it all comes down to your love for this materialistic dunya.
Mm.
At the end of the day, literally everything you can think of, it comes to your own nafs. Mm-hmm. Your own, you know,
your temptations.
Temptations. And
desires.
Yeah, exactly. So your desire for what you want from this world. Do you want attention?
Yeah.
So obviously if you think you know, at the end of the day, I think the one thing that just kind of keeps me going within my hijab journey and my, you know, my deen, my Islam.
Yeah.
Is just the fact that the only reason we're in this dunya is to obey God, the one creator, and we're not here forever.
Yeah.
So we're literally here for a very specific amount of time, and it's a test to all of us Muslims to just, you know, hold on. It's a journey, and so until we make it to where we are actually supposed to be, which is the afterlife. And, you know, this is... It's a huge, I guess, like, with non-believers, it's a huge debate of what is afterlife and all of that, but, I mean, I guess none of us will know until we make it there.
Exactly.
So, I think, you know, that's the one thing is who, a whole thing of, like, personally, from, like, what I, you know, have lived and learned, is that I'm not here to look good to anyone, I'm not here to impress anyone, I'm not here to... You know, get attention or whatever it is, like anything materialistic. I'm literally here to obey the one and only God that I have.
Yeah.
And just do what I'm supposed to. And as long as I'm not hurting anyone else, does it really matter?
Yeah.
I think what everyone needs to do is go on their own journey and put their parents' version of Islam away.
Yeah.
Put their society's version of Islam
yeah.
away. Put their scholars' version of Islam away. Not
their scholars, for
reason. To an extent. I mean,
extent.
I feel like with scholars, just to add in, it's about understanding who the right scholars are.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not talking about olden scholars. I'm talking about online, the new generation scholars.
Yeah.
Not the olden scholars. No. They were far too great.
I feel like the new generation of scholars, the only reason, I mean, I wouldn't even call them scholars. They're truthfully, what are they doing it for? For attention and money, because that's all that's going to gain. Yeah. So they're using that for themselves.
Yeah.
Go on.
What was I going to say?
Sorry.
But yeah, just learn Islam, you know, just pick up the Quran.
Yeah.
Learn it as much as you can. Anything that you don't get, anything that's making you doubt, research further. But don't only look at the Quran for what it says. Look at the context. Yeah. The context matters so much. Mm. When I was going through my Islamic journey, I don't know if this is relevant actually.
It's fine.
Don't
worry.
But when I was going through my Islamic journey, I had to look at the context of when it was based, because the Quran wasn't sent all at once. It was sent in bulks, in chapters.
Yeah.
And I think we forget that. We think it's addressing everything, but it was sent for different reasons at different times. And understanding the context of each single section and looking at, you know, books that address certain parts of the Quran, and maybe speaking to an imam or speaking to scholars or anything, just helps you get rid of any doubt you have and makes you actually understand what this religion is about beside everyone else's beliefs. This is just, you have to go from it from the perspective of being a newborn baby, that you don't know anything, and learn it fresh. And I think that's when you truly understand the beauty of Islam.
And if you talk about like hijab, like understanding where in the Quran it talks about hijab, the context of it, the understanding of what it actually means, why do we actually wear hijab, what does it say in the Quran that says why we wear hijab, what's the reasoning behind it.
Another thing is, like, a lot of people think, oh yeah, why, like, technically that you're sexualizing yourself because you're trying to protect yourself from that, but then I think one thing, they do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know, when they're like putting a hijab on a baby, like, that's sexualizing the baby, because why? But I think there's a lot of, like, you know, debates like that, but I feel like what people misunderstand is men also have obligations, not just women. And so before Allah tells us to cover up, it tells men to lower their gaze.
Literally in the Quran it says that.
It says, we are told that we have to wear the hijab, that we have to observe, it tells men to lower their gaze. So I feel like a lot of people miss this, is that it's not just, oh yeah, women have to do this, women have this obligation. No, men have it too, but it's just in a different way, because obviously we have different responsibilities and different mindsets and different bodies and beings, I guess.
Yeah.
I think the beauty of Islam is that obviously it unites people. Mm. So if you surround yourself with good people, a good company, obviously that will only help you become the best version of yourself. For example, like talking about the hijab, if you surround yourself with maybe Muslim girls who do wear the hijab, that will obviously, you know, it'll kind of make you feel that you're not the only one in this Western society, like, that you've got, like, other people as well with you, and that'll only make your journey easier.
Yeah.
No, it is definitely. I think one thing that I like to talk about is around, like you said, like, definitely, I completely agree, is when you have practicing Muslim women around you, or just Muslims in general, it is so easy to, you know, be a part of it, because if you didn't have that, and you have, you know, obviously if you had the opposite of what you truly believe in, it would make it so much harder, because they're just different. And so although, like, obviously the hijab journey and the Islamic journey in general is a very, very individual thing, I feel like we definitely do connect and help, and it's just a nice community.
I guess
it's a genuine community to, you know, that we can trust and learn from and grow with.
I guess because our ethos in Islam is like one ummah. We are one ummah. Like, when we go for Hajj and we go for Umrah, we all look the same. Because we are one. We are equal. And community is such a big thing. Like, as much as we have individual understandings and growth from Islam, like learning from Islam, it is so helpful, and it's such a good thing to have a community. Like, if you guys want to talk about, like, your, I mean, you guys kind of did go into it, but, like, your community is, like, how did that influence your hijab?
I'll start, because I have a few things to say. So with my community, I would say that I mean, there's my community and then there's my family. My family is very culture based, I would say, more than religion, but they're very misogynistic. I would, you know, especially like talking about my aunties and my own father, especially, you know, father's side. I think within my family, I was judged a lot. You know, even for doing my hijab, I used to, like, I still show my neck. And so not observing the hijab properly, I was judged a lot and questioned, why are you wearing the hijab if you're going to wear that much makeup? You know, so it kind of did bring you down and you're like, you do really, you know, I've been told, oh yeah, you might as well take it off. You know, being told to take off your hijab just because you're not doing it perfectly. So those kind of things, I think, within the community could be very toxic, but I guess it's because they don't have that understanding of the hijab journey in Islam and what it truly means, and, you know, why everyone does it. And so I think a lot of the times it could be very toxic, like some, you know, communities. But at the same time, a lot of women that I have met and, you know, been around have been extremely, you know, influential, as well as they really motivated me to, you know, wear the hijab. So I think there's a whole, like, there's really many sides to
is that
community.
Like, is that non-Muslims and Muslims that were supportive towards you?
Yeah, I would say that, like, if we're talking about, you know, family, like my own family, they were very, I guess, pushy and judgmental. But communities in general could be very inspiring. But it does really change from person to person. You know, but, you know, I think that is why, I would say one thing about my own, you know, journey as a Muslim is that I was guided away from Islam before I was brought back to it. And I say I was because I feel like God really does bring a lot of things into your life to make you learn it. Because you truly do live the same lessons over and over again until you learn what you're supposed to. And I feel like at some point I was at such a low point of my life that, you know, I didn't think the hijab even meant anything. I didn't think Islam would help. I thought it was all, you know, rubbish. Genuinely, that's what I thought. And then I had like a couple years of realization. And, like, before that, I used to be so, like, into, I guess, westernized feminism and how I thought, yeah, men and women are equal. And I still, obviously, in the eyes of God, we're all equal, but we have come to this dunya, I guess, this world, as different beings.
Yeah, and we have our roles.
Yeah, women and men will never be equal.
No.
Because men and women, they go through, like, a lot, very different experiences, experiences, and, like, you know, yeah. Sorry, I went really off the topic there.
No, fine.
I mean, I've already discussed the community, but there's nothing much more to add to that. But I wanted to add to her point of, you know, men and women. They're essentially, I feel like Islam portrays them so beautifully. Like, yes, we have different roles, but to the eyes of God, we're all the same. And I think a lot of the reasons why people might feel like, you know, Islam treats men and women differently is because of the way some people, especially some men, view women, and they justify their hatred for women through some bits of the Quran without realizing that there's a whole chapter to read than just that one line.
They pick and choose, and also exaggerating,
without context. And I think they don't realize that you also have to look at the Sunnah of our Prophet and the way he lived, and not just, you know, picking and choosing one bit, but rather look at it, the whole picture, and practice the whole thing. And if you do want to be misogynistic, don't put Islam as the reason for it, you know? Like, you should just go ahead and be misogynistic, but stop using the name of Islam. And I think that's why a lot of people get
very much.
I think it's easier to use Islam because, obviously, as us Muslims, right, we've grown up Muslims, whether we agreed with it initially or not, or, you know, whatever we believed in at first. Because I feel like no matter what you're born as, you truly have to find Islam yourself.
Yeah.
It's, and, like, I think with hijab as well, like, you truly have to, even no matter what the reason was when you initially wore it, you eventually go to learn what the true reason is and the struggles that comes with it and why are we doing this and everything else that comes with it. But I think the reason is because Islam has so much influence on us that it is easier to use it as an excuse to control. It's, you know, it's just the way of controlling us, I guess, because it's easier to say Allah has commanded you to do this than saying I'm a misogynistic piece of shit, you know?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
I kind of touched upon it before, but so just about like the community and like the areas and my family, you know, and how that's kind of like affected my hijab journey. Personally, I think I've had a very good hijab journey from the time I started till present day. I feel like just from the start, I've always been very on my deen, I guess.
Yeah.
And I was always very curious to study Islam and, you know, kind of understand the meaning of, you know, wearing the hijab or dressing modestly and all of these different things. So I just feel like I've never had like a difficult time in my whole journey when wearing the hijab. And even though I was, like, I went to a Church of England school where literally 90% of the people were, like, white people, non-Muslims, that still didn't affect my hijab journey because I felt proud wearing the hijab. I liked being different. And, you know, people would ask me, you know, like, why do you wear... So many people ask me in school, why would you wear the hijab?
Yeah.
Like, what's the reasoning behind it? And I enjoyed telling people about Islam and telling people about my religion. It just made me feel even more connected to, like, God and Islam. I feel like it just made me more spiritually stronger as a person.
Yeah.
So this hijab, this piece of cloth, is not only like a physical item, like you guys mentioned before.
Yeah.
It's something so much more deeper than that.
Yeah.
Something which is like literally helping me go through life spiritually. So I just feel like I've not really had a hard hijab journey. And yeah, like I was saying, like I went to an all-girls school where, you know, 90% of people were non-Muslims. Even in my own family, like me and my sister, we were like the first girls to wear the hijab. Even till this day, like most of my cousins and my aunties, no one wears the hijab. We're still kind of the only ones.
Oh, wow.
So like obviously we grew up in a family where like the hijab wasn't, like we didn't see it much. So to us it was just like, I felt really, like to me it was more of a feeling of feeling proud rather than feeling different.
Yeah.
Obviously I was different because, you know, majority of people don't wear the hijab, but I liked being that. I liked being different.
Being different.
Like I liked being different. Like I just, yeah, I think it's unique. So I've, alhamdulillah, had a really good, say, hijab journey.
That's really interesting. Yeah, to like wrap up, I think, just in like,
social media.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't touched upon that.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That's what I was gonna say. Like, just to like kind of wrap up, basically, because we're coming to an hour. Do you feel like living in the West has influenced your hijab? Your hijab right now. Like, over the past, like, growing up years. And how.
Okay. Me, personally, as someone who came from Turkey, as someone who lived in Turkey and came into this country, I was able to experience not just Turkish Muslims, but Muslims from all around the world. And so Turkish Muslims, to me, have, like, in my opinion, are very cultural. And so seeing Muslims from different cultures kind of helped me pick out the difference between culture and religion. And so that way, it genuinely did help me improve my hijab journey because of the way, I guess, if you wore certain things like a niqab in Turkey, you would still face a lot of like backlash.
Really?
Yeah. In certain cities and certain places, people will be like, they're not Turkish because Turkish people don't wear the niqab like culturally.
Yeah.
Like we do wear the hijab, but we wear it in a very specific way. And so I feel like it's because it's so different from other like, cultures. Coming here to London, where there are Muslims from all around the world, and there's Muslims from different sects. You know, just seeing that, it does really help you see Islam for what it is rather than whatever it is mixed with like culture or, you know, any kind of other ideologies. So, yeah, and like social media especially, right now, like let's say TikTok, that's, you know, the most trending social media platform. On there, I can see obviously day to day, I see so many women who, you know, are looked up to because they wear the jilbab. I went myself and bought, you know, those things after seeing it on TikTok, after seeing those women still look so beautiful and elegant, and kind of they have influenced me, so, like with social media. I think it depends what kind of,
yeah,
I mean, it's hard to, you know what you exactly feed yourself through social media, but when you know, you choose to follow certain people, they do influence you in a good way. And so I have seen the positive sides of social media, because it does bring, you know, like I said, like communities together and Muslim women together as well. And I've been influenced too by certain items of clothing which are more modest than what I'm wearing right now, and I hope to kind of improve towards that direction.
So it'd be more like positive than negative for you?
Yeah.
The westernization.
Yeah.
Being in London.
I think not just westernization, because if we're talking about the whole of the Western world, obviously city, it all different.
No, just you as an individual living in London.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But me as a person living in London.
Yeah.
I think it's been a good impact.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
That's
a good
very
one.
Interesting.
Because I think living among non-believers.
Yeah.
And with loads of different people of different cultures and different backgrounds and different religions, you do really end up questioning who you are.
Yeah.
So I think at a young age, you really do question your identity and who you are and where you come from and where you want to go, because, you know, everyone's so different that whether you like it or not, you do end up kind of as your individual self.
Yeah.
Because, like, let's say in schools and stuff, there was no other Turkish Muslim woman with a hijab.
Yeah.
It was just, I was the only one in the entire
cool.
year.
Yeah.
And then there was another, you know, Turkish Muslim girl, but she wasn't a hijabi.
Yeah.
So she was the closest I could get to in relation, like, if we're, you know, talking about
culture
and Islam and hijab journey and things like that. So I think it does affect you, but it depends on which perspective you look at from. And in terms of social media, it depends on who you follow and what you decide to feed yourself. Because if you go and choose the wrong people to influence you without knowing, then they can definitely misguide you.
Yeah.
And you could definitely end up, you know, because there are so many women on TikTok who have taken off their hijabs.
Yeah.
You know, doing the opposite. So, like, you know, from our childhood, we used to watch and like, she's always been a hijabi, and she always showed us how to do
hijab. It's very sad.
And then now she doesn't even wear the hijab, but.
Yeah. You know, she was like a very big icon for hijab.
Yeah. She was,
I think,
one of
she
the
was
first
the first
from London.
Hijabi influencers.
Yeah. She was literally the first, and now she's not even a hijabi. So, like I said, like, it depends on. But she's still, obviously, I think, as. When you're younger, you're easy to influence. But I feel like now that I'm at the age where I'm 21 and I know better, you know, that.
Yeah.
You know, I can pick and choose what's right from wrong. And knowing what I know from Islam as well.
Yeah.
So I feel like just having that education, it is extremely important, you know, or in terms of where you look at things from, your perspective.
For me, I think everything's a journey. Like, for example, I always think, like, if I was born up in Saudi Arabia, would I be different? But then I always think, when you're surrounded by just Muslims, you get curious as to, you know, what is out there that's different. So it could cause more damage than good. And the realization I've come to is that Western society hasn't impacted the way of my hijab right now. But yes, it has before in the past, like, made me want to take it off, or, you know, not wear it, or, you know, just having questions about why I wear it and they don't. But I think it's made me, as Mean said, stronger in a way, because I'm wearing this in a place where not many people wear it. And so I have strong values and beliefs for my religion to be wearing it here. And on the topic of social media, I think it's very dangerous to give someone the power to influence you in your Islamic journey. Like, as you said, TikTok influenced you into buying more hijabs. But what if
you're a Muslim woman, you're likely familiar with the nail polish debate. A Turkish author from the University of Glasgow has researched this topic extensively, concluding that nail polish can represent a harmonious blend of faith and beauty for many. Embracing this perspective, Mercy Cosmetics, a US-based halal nail polish brand, offers a wide range of vegan halal certified products. They also prioritize social responsibility, pledging to donate 20% of profits to provide water to underprivileged communities. As a special offer for Journal Hijabi listeners, you can enjoy a 15% discount on your entire order by visiting mercycosmetics.com/journalhijabi or using the code JOURNALHIJABI in all caps, no spaces at checkout. That's mercycosmetics.com/journalhijabi. Mercy, M-E-R-S-I, cosmetics.com/journalhijabi or using the code Journal Hijabi at checkout. Join Mercy Cosmetics in celebrating the joy of nail polish without compromising your values.
That person that you followed that bought the jilbabs suddenly changed their mind and, you know, said they don't want to wear jilbabs anymore. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, you know, all those people said something else. And I think we don't realize we're being influenced sometimes. Mm. It's subconsciously, the things we see these pictures, again and again and again, and so we think that's normal and that's okay. Mm. But without realizing, it's actually altering our minds of what a hijabi Muslim should look like, and of what we should be like, and of what we should dress like, what we should act like, and what we should do. And I think this doesn't happen by, oh, look, I'm seeing her and now I'm just going to wear something like her. It happens subconsciously. Oh, my God, I really love those pants. You know, where does she get it from? You check and you buy it and you wear it. And then, you know, it might be that top, that really tight top that she's wearing. And yes, it shows her body, but it looks really good on her. So I need to get one too. Mm-hmm. And if she's doing it, then, of course, like, we're all on our own journey. We should all do it. And I think we kind of get in this loop of, you know, doing things without realizing their consequences because we see it so often that we forget it might be an issue. Mm-hmm. We forget because, you know, subconsciously, sometimes we don't realize what we're even doing is a problem. Mm. And this is especially true for those that are not religious. Yeah. For people that are religious, they know right from wrong. Mm. But for those that are still starting their journey or in the beginning of their journey, when they see something, they don't know if it's right or wrong. Mm. They just see many people doing it, and so they follow the trend.
Yeah.
But I don't think social media is at fault here. I think people labeling themselves as Muslim influencers, that's the issue. If you're going to label yourself as a Muslim influencer, that means you want people to follow what you do. So if you're basically essentially saying that you want people to follow what you do, but you're actually sinning publicly.
Yeah.
Then that goes to show, what are your intentions? Because I think you shouldn't label yourself as a Muslim influencer. Maybe just have an Instagram about your own life and, you know, do whatever you want. But when you actually acknowledge the fact that you are influencing people and you're on that big platform and you know you are going to influence people into doing wrong, but it's everyone's journey. I think we forget that sometimes influencing people to do wrong could also be a big, big issue,
of course,
and a problem.
Because, like, where do you, you've put yourself on this big platform as an influencer,
as a Muslim influencer,
and like, where do you get your knowledge from?
Exactly.
Like,
I think,
where have you learned?
And the issue is we shouldn't be following anyone or calling ourselves influencers because we are not on that level.
But I think it's inevitable to be perceived as a Muslim because we've already spoken about that. If she just wants to be an influencer, she doesn't want to show herself as a Muslim influencer, right? But she just wants to be an influencer, like you said, like talk about her life or whatever it is. If she wears the hijab, you're automatically going to think Muslim influencer. Because that's just who she is. That's a part of her identity.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about those ones. I'm just talking about those that actually label themselves as a Muslim influencer. Those that want people to follow them.
Right, yeah, no.
Not, because the intention's different for everyone.
Yeah,
I can't judge what someone's intention is. Mm. But when someone has made it clear that their intention is for people to follow them by saying, oh, a Muslim influencer. And I've seen a lot of actual reels and Muslim people saying, yes, I get fillers, but that, and justifying it essentially, or justifying certain haram things because that's That's what they think. And they've also labeled themselves as a Muslim influencer, which is very dangerous. Because to level yourself that highly as an influencer which usually normal people shouldn't be, because
yeah.
no one should be influencing anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, we had our prophet, and he was the only influencer we should follow.
He's our role model.
He's our role model, and
yeah.
he was the only influencer.
Yeah.
That's why he was made perfect.
Yeah.
So to label yourself as a Muslim influencer, that itself is
problematic.
Yeah,
it's very
yeah.
toxic.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, you guys kind of basically said everything, but I feel like even with a lot of these Muslim influencers who they say they're Muslim influencers,
mm.
but then at the same time they say, oh, we've been kind of essentially given this title, as in like it wasn't our choice, like it just came to us kind of.
Mm.
A lot of Muslim influencers, they think they can say that and they kind of justify that,
yeah.
Which I believe is just
rubbish.
Very wrong. Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's rubbish, literally.
A lot of the time these Muslim influencers, they just like crave attention, and so they say a lot
yeah.
of contradictory things which catch the attention of a lot of people, Muslims and non-Muslims.
Yeah.
What was your question again on the, what your last question was about the hijab and the like the context, like your own journey?
It was about as you an individual,
yeah,
in has the hijab, has living in London in a Western society affected your hijab? Not your journey, your just your hijab, how you are now?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, how?
I think, personally, I've been able to kind of, like we were talking about culture before, obviously
mm-hmm.
that's a really big part of our identity, I guess you can say. I've been, like, I think I've been able to, like, kind of distinguish my culture and my religion.
That's very
And I like to make sure that I don't mix both up, because they're both different, they're both separate, and they shouldn't be mixed up, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I think my actual, like, me wearing the hijab currently, in this day, in this present day, I don't find it difficult at all.
Mm.
Like, I don't think it's a hard thing for me personally. I know everyone has their own journeys, but because I've been wearing it for so many years now, and because, like, as I'm growing older, I'm learning more about it, and I'm learning more about the importance of wearing it, the kind of meaning of it, the like beauty of it. And like when you learn all these different things, all these like everything kind of clicks in your head, and you truly understand why you're wearing the hijab.
Mm.
And it doesn't, like, if when you're so like, I guess when you're so on like strong on your belief, anything like things to do with where you live or who you're surrounded with, none of that would affect your journey, because you're strong with, you're strong
in your
belief. Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
So, like, I don't think me living in London has affected me in any way. I think, in fact, it's helped me even more, because obviously London is so diverse. Because it's so diverse, you kind of put upon yourself, like, you tell yourself, oh, I need to learn more about Islam now,
mm.
Because, like, you're literally exposed to so many different religions
mm-hmm.
and cultures, and, you know, people will tell you lots of different things, and
mm.
That's obviously very common in London, in such a diverse city. So I think like living in like central London has in fact helped me become more stronger in my hijab journey, because it's made me literally go out of my way to research more about the hijab and Islam.
Yeah.
Because there's literally so many different ideas out there of like how you should wear the hijab, or like what is the hijab. There's so many different meanings and interpretations. So I think like literally living in London in such a busy city with like so many different cultures and ethnicities and religions,
it's made
it easier for me to wear the hijab, I think.
Okay. So you guys think it's like positive?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Do you
think
it's positive?
I think it depends on, like you said, like what kind of media that you feed yourself. Because
yeah.
you can choose your timeline, I feel like, because it depends on what you know. I mean, I guess it could be very toxic for when you're like younger and
you're more influential.
Because I have been there and
yeah.
I have been influenced,
yeah.
and then I kind of just grew out of it as I learned more.
Yeah.
But I think in general, when you're aware, you're not as easy to influence, and so you know you can change, like, you can tell the difference between right and wrong from your beliefs and your religion. Because
yeah.
to me, right and wrong depends on what Islam prohibits.
Mm.
The reasoning behind it, and then what is right is if it's affecting me and my, you know, surroundings in a positive
yeah.
way. So to me, that's like right and wrong. And so if a piece of media, let's just say, is not aligning with those rights,
yeah.
then I know that it's not good for me, obviously.
Yeah.
And so I think it just depends on what you you can see what, and who you follow and who you choose to, and like how you choose to use social media, because you can use it in a good way where, you know, I have friends that send me Islamic reminders, and so it actually helps me sometimes, you know, sending me things like du'as and reminders and things like that. And so it's good, but then obviously there is bad sides to it where, like she said, like Sarah mentioned, that it's all like on the back of your mind, whether you like it or not. Yeah, so subconsciously you are processing everything, whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
And so it is normalizing things you might not want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it's also really weird how much time we spend on social media, considering how much we should spend. I think like one part of your Islamic journey is to reduce social media exposure personally, because I feel like social media was made for time wasting. You know, wasting your time on maybe scrolling down
nonsense.
through nonsense,
yeah.
Or, you know, reducing your attention span. And it actually has so many consequences when you're constantly scrolling or constantly feeding yourself different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we can't control our timeline.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're, like, forced to see something we don't want to see. And I think that's why reducing your social media exposure has done wonders for my Islamic journey, and bettering my hijab journey, bettering myself, learning more about Islam. Because when you're constantly scrolling through social media, firstly, you're wasting your time. Secondly, you're not being productive.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, you're being lazy. You know, you're being told to be lazy, and you're being taught to be lazy, because social media, like especially TikTok, reduces your exposure. I mean, sorry, reduces your, I forgot the word, reduces your ability to
your senses. I know
your
what you
senses.
Mean.
No.
There's a word.
There's a word for this. I said it before, but I forgot. It reduces your
brain.
It reduces your
time span. No,
time
something span.
Short. No.
Attention span.
Attention span. And so you can't take in loads of information at once. And the Quran, it's lots of information.
Mm.
So essentially, you're basically, it pushes you away, is what I'm trying to say. Because music is one thing, right, that's
yeah.
played a lot. And for your journey, I think, because
yeah.
music sends a lot of subconscious messages
mm-hmm.
to your brain, I think for your benefit, I think it's better to reduce your exposure, whether it affects you
or
whether it doesn't visibly.
Mm-hmm.
I think one really important thing I want to add is that when you're constantly on social media, like you said, and you're obviously shortening your attention span, etc., you're also constantly on a dopamine high. So the more you watch, and obviously, like, you're keeping your mind occupied, and so doing that constantly is going to make the things that you normally should be extremely boring. And so you won't be satisfied with doing day-to-day lives, and it's going to put you into a spiral of depression because you're so used to just constantly being on TikTok and just, you know, like scrolling and scrolling for hours. You're not going to satisfy yourself doing anything else.
Exactly.
And that's going to affect you in every way.
Exactly.
And I think another huge thing about hijab I want to talk about is, like, hijab, social media is pornography.
Mm.
Which I know, it might sound like it has nothing to do with it, but I feel like...
no, I know what you mean. Carol.
It's that kind of, like, toxic things that you take in
yeah.
that, you know, a lot of young people in this day and age will.
Yeah.
Inevitably, they will, you know.
Yeah.
As they're not going to want... They might, you know, if they're influenced so much by it, they might not look into the hijab in a positive light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could talk about me and Khalifa.
Yeah, oh, I don't even want to. I don't want to.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Does anyone have some last comments? Otherwise, we're going to stop because it's at 1 hour, 20 minutes now. Last comments,
yeah.
Anyone? Any burning?
I just think it's so interesting.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that, like, we'd expect social everything to just have a... Like, being in a Western society to have bad negative impacts on our job. But actually,
yeah.
it's made us...
It does.
If you find the right people,
it does
so
genuinely, personally, I feel like being in a Western society,
yeah,
it has brought me closer to my religion as well as my hijab, because I can see, you know, I have seen people and what they do for fun, and, you know, things like they dress up and they go out and they use substances and they drink alcohol. And so when I just, you know, not experience it, but I guess witness it,
yeah,
is that I can see that there is absolutely no point in doing so. Because it's just it's not going to last long. You know, it's just, you get high and then that satisfaction dies off.
Yeah.
There is no true happiness in those kind of westernized, normalized lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so it genuinely does bring me closer to my deen, because, you know, you almost, you know, all of that, but especially, like, I guess there's just so much going on in the world and you're so aware of it, you know, that it feels lonely to you. And so I feel like having God and making him the main...
God-centered.
And so, yeah, exactly, it has a huge impact on the way you live your life and your hijab.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think friends do too.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of my friends...
Your company.
Yeah, like, company. I have non-hijabi friends.
Yeah.
And the friends they usually hang around with, like, every day are non-hijabi friends.
Yeah.
And so when they hang around with me as a hijabi, they always, like, asking me, like, oh, yeah, so... How does it feel? Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
are these Muslims or non-Muslims?
Muslims. But you know, they want to learn more. But
yeah.
because they're constantly around people that don't wear the hijab and dress differently,
yeah.
which who are also Muslims, by the way,
yeah.
they're not influenced into making a change. You know what I mean? You need that little bit of influence. And I think renewing your intentions. Because you could wear the hijab, but if you don't have the intention of wearing it for the right reasons, because Islam is centered around intention, then... Does your hijab wearing even count in the eyes of Allah? If you know your intention isn't to wear it for the sake of wearing it. Yeah, like, not as in if... We can't tell what other people's intentions are, but you have to tell your own intentions. You have to, like, sit down with yourself. Am I wearing this for the right reasons? Am I wearing this because Allah told me to do? Or am I wearing this because, you know,
just because
everyone else is. Like, you know, for example, social media, again. Like, because these people look so pretty in the hijab. Am I wearing it to look pretty in the hijab? Or am I wearing it because God sent it, God taught us to wear it?
Yeah.
So I think it's always good to renew your attentions and hang around with the right people that encourage you and tell you, like, you know, their hijab journeys and are always encouraging you.
Do you have any last comments?
Yeah, just as a conclusion of everything we spoke about. I just think as a Muslim living in a Western society, obviously you're gonna like it's gonna be difficult, you know, at times because of everything you're exposed to. But as long as you try your best to, you know, study Islam and kind of stay strong on your belief, then your journey will slowly become easier. So like, there's always good in the end.
Nice.
Overall, a positive thing.
That's quite
interesting,
positive.
Guys.
I thought it was all gonna be negative.
Great.
Yeah.
Positive.
Yeah. Well done, guys. Okay, I'm gonna stop it now. Bye.
Bye.
Enjoy.
Have fun listening to it now. I'll
be dead after this.
Thanks for reaching the end of the episode. We hope you learned something new about the women who wear the hijab. You can watch the recorded video of this episode on YouTube at Journal Hijabi. And be sure to follow our Instagram at Journal Hijabi to stay updated on all things hijabi and help spread our stories. Until next time, never forget the power of being a hijabi.